Welcome back to the Roundtable. Elizabeth Sobel, a veteran of the classical music and recording industry, is spending her first summer as the president and CEO of the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. She joins us this morning to tell us what is happening on stage and behind the scenes at SPAC over the coming weeks. She comes to Saratoga Springs from Miami Beach, where she was president and CEO of Universal Music Classics. Before that, she spent nearly three decades at IMG Artists as its managing director. After a successful weekend of jazz in the Fraunhofer Saratoga Jazz Festival, she is here to tell us of what's coming up next, including the New York City Ballet, the mini Argentinian Festival, and Cafe Lena at SPAC, plus much, much more. Elizabeth Sobel, it is wonderful to see you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be back. I just love you guys.
Well, we love you, and we are thrilled. So the big news is then in just over a week, the ballet will be back at Saratoga.
That's right. Opening night, July 5th. We had some really spectacular news over the weekend, and that is, a lot of people don't even realize this, but there is this amazing curtain called the Galaxy Curtain, which was actually a piece of art done by a Japanese artist. And when that Galaxy Curtain comes down in front of the silver performance curtains, it's like it's this spectacular visual sumptuous feast, which hasn't been used in a couple of decades, and we found a way to bring it back, and we're going to have it there down when people come for opening on July 5th.
So this is the curtain in the front, not the background. This is the actual curtain.
It's a metal curtain with ceramic and glass pieces. And when the light comes through it, you actually feel like you are in the galaxy. And when you're on stage with the curtain down, you feel like you are in the Milky Way. It's pretty spectacular. When I discovered it on the stage one day, when we were doing some work on the stage, I started posting it on Facebook because it was so spectacular, and I had so many people write and say, oh my God, we haven't seen that in decades. It's so much a part of our history and so spectacular. So it really made it kind of a priority for us to bring it back. There were some technical issues, but I think we've overcome them now.
So this is something that SPAC owns. It's yours,
yes,
but it's always been used for the ballet.
Well, it's apparently in the early days, which would have been I believe it was premiered in the 70s, it was used before every performance. It comes down in front of all the other like scenic elements and the performance curtain, which is a fabric curtain. But for some reason, it had stopped. It's been stopped. Hasn't been used in a couple decades now. So anyway, I'm truly excited about bringing it back.
So you're ready to change all that.
Changing, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
There is an incredible video series that has been created, and which I believe launches today.
That is right.
So, tell us what that is, how it got started, and ultimately will get us ready for the coming ballet season.
Yes. So you know, I come from the performing arts and a lot of the classic arts, classical music, classical ballet, and one of the things that we know is that, you know, younger generations who haven't had the opportunities we had, you know, growing up to see ballet, hear classical music, they haven't grown up with it. So a lot of the conventions and traditions and formalities of classical performance can be a little off-putting to people. And so what we're really trying to do with, particularly with the ballet coming up so soon, was really kind of find ways to bring the dancers back into the community, albeit in this instance in a virtual way, but also to strip down dance to its essential kind of primal, beautiful, joyous nature and create a series of videos that would really convey that. So these videos were done by two members of New York City Ballet Corps dancers who came up, Emily Kikta and Peter Walker, who were absolutely brilliant, creative, imaginative, and they were filmed in iconic locations around Saratoga and Troy. So I'm really excited about this. It's something completely new for SPAC, something very innovative, and we really hope not only will it promote the new season, but it's going to bring in younger people who are just like moved by the joyous basic human nature of wanting to move and dance.
There will ultimately be a new one each morning and 9:30, and then they'll be on all your website as well.
Yep.
As all your social media platforms.
Yes, we've gotten tremendous support from all the media outlets in the greater Capital Region, and yes, 9:30 we'll be posting eight in a row, each a gem, each in a different location. In particular, okay, this is like saying which of your children is your favorite child, but on Wednesday there's going to be one that was filmed on the track in a downpour, and that one's pretty out there.
You didn't plan the downpour, I assume, but it just happened.
It's funny. They actually had a notion, Peter and Emily had a notion of doing it in the rain, but I don't think they bargained for like an actual thunderstorm with lightning and thunder. So, but what they got was so dramatic.
Well, that's beautiful. Now, and then the ballet actually comes to town July 5th through the 15th. What are some of the highlights of of the ballet season?
Right. So, you know, needless to say, the ballet gala is always an extraordinary event. I mean, I'm saying that because I've heard so much about it. I haven't actually experienced it. But from everything I've seen in photos and heard from people who've been over the years, it's just an extraordinary, spectacular event. That's on July 8th. But, of course, opening night is going to be so exciting as well. And what we really tried to do this year, because when it came to Saratoga, obviously the passion for ballet and dance in Saratoga and the greater environs is really deep and profound. And I really tried to listen to what people were saying about what they loved and what they wanted to see. And, you know, as it won't surprise you, I had probably equal numbers of people saying, give us storybook ballet, and the others saying, give us something new, you know. So
right.
We do have, I think, a really terrific mix of the new, including two new works by Justin Peck, who's so beloved in the region, and a brand new piece by Alexei Ratmansky, you know, one of the dynamic choreographers of our day. All three have gotten spectacular reviews in the New York Times. So I'm really excited about the range and newness of what we're doing.
Talk a little bit about, we'll get to some other highlights in the season, but talk a little bit about the conversations that you have with the ballet, with Peter Martins, and how you choose what comes to Saratoga.
Yeah, so, as you know, I started back in October, and we had to put together a season in a relatively short amount of time. But the ballet were incredibly responsive to the type of approach that we wanted to take, which really was, you know, I think of it as honoring tradition and also valuing innovation. And so that's where we're trying to thread that needle at SPAC in everything we do, because clearly the last 50 years are just like deeply meaningful years. And when I walk into my office every morning, the first thing that I see is this massive poster from year one of Saratoga Performing Arts Center. And it includes the ballet and it includes the orchestra. And so I walk in both humbled by and inspired by that poster, you know, and kind of honoring the DNA of SPAC, but also taking it into the future. And so the ballet, I have to say, have been very responsive to our, you know, our dialogue, our conversations about where programming ought to land.
So some other highlights over the 10 days.
Oh, my God. Okay, so our Cafe Lena at SPAC, our first one back in June, was a huge success. We had a beautiful day on our brand new gazebo stage out in the field next to the amphitheater. It's a great place for listening to music, and Sarah Craig from Cafe Lena curated a fabulous 4 hours of nonstop, you know, fabulousness. And so our next one is on July 9, another great lineup by Sarah. So we hope everybody will come out. It's completely free. Just come out to SPAC, sit under a tree or in the sun. Hopefully we'll have another great day of weather.
I'm sure you will.
It's got to be. So that's great. That's on July 9. We also recently announced live sessions at the Jazz Bar. When I first came to Saratoga and saw the bar next to the Hall of Springs and was told it was called the Jazz Bar, but apparently there was no live music in it. I said, that's something that's got to change.
There's no jazz at the Jazz Bar?
There's no jazz at the Jazz Bar until now. And that will start on July 11. We're going to have 7 nights across the summer, July and August. You can go to spec.org and look at Jazz Bar for the lineup and the times. But the idea is you can go to the ballet, you can go to the orchestra. After the show is over, you can come over to the Jazz Bar around 10, and we'll have live bands playing for about 2 hours. So it's a great after performance hang. And then the thing that's coming up really soon that I'm super excited about is Che Malambo, which is a Argentinian percussion and dance company, which I think is going to be absolutely spectacular. And as things have come together, we've created this little mini Argentinian festival around it. So we're going to have riders and horses, Argentinian riders and their horses from Polo coming over, and some other events around that the night of Che Malambo. And then 2 days later, as part of our new residency by Film Forum at SPAC in the Little Theater, we're going to be screening Un Tango Más, which is a fantastic film about tango in Argentina, followed by tango lessons and dancing in the Gideon Putnam Room at the Little Theater.
Did you ever think to yourself, I mean, I guess this is sort of the life of a president and CEO of an arts venue, but okay, get me horses. You know, I mean, like that's sort of, I mean, you spent all these years working with classical artists. I mean, the list is incredible. Oh, now I have to find the horse guy.
That is so funny. You're absolutely right. I mean, honestly, you know,
you go to college for that, did you?
No. And honestly, you know, one of the things about being at SPAC is just how, like, beloved the organization is, and how you can, like, I walk around the park and around the SPAC grounds a lot, and just I imagine, like, place, you know, the whole place full of music and art and beauty, man-made beauty along with all the natural beauty. And what will happen sometimes is I'll say, I've got this idea of something I want to do, and then lo and behold, you'll have 6 people like putting up their hands going, I know somebody, I can do that, I can bring that. I'm like, wow, okay.
And it's fun. You have a good time doing all that.
Just so exhilarated. You know, yesterday I spent the whole weekend at Jazz, and people tried to prepare me for how amazing that was, and no words or photos could do it justice.
I mean, you mentioned it. I mentioned it in the introduction. This is your first time seeing some of this stuff. So
yeah.
to see what is on paper and what you expect and what you are told, I assume from others, of, well, this is what usually happens. It must be amazing to experience all that for the first time.
Utterly overwhelming. I mean, the thing I say to people is that, you know, I've had a really amazing run, you know, my career at IMG and Universal, but nothing prepared me for just the incredible being that SPAC is. Saturday, I was coming into Jazz, and I was watching everybody running in and setting up, and I overheard somebody say, as they were hugging a person they clearly hadn't seen for a while, you know, this is not just about great music, it's a homecoming. And that's how I feel. Even though I had never been to Saratoga Springs before or to the Capital Region before I came last June, for me and for my husband, being here is a homecoming.
I'm curious of what the learning curve is, because you are sort of, I mean, there's so many parts to putting something like this together. You were very much ingrained in one part of it. So now you're in a different side of it.
Yeah.
And obviously bring that experience with you. But what is the learning curve and all the other stuff that you have to figure out to be able to keep the place running as well as it's been running over the last 50 years?
It's a really good question, and the answer is a long one that you don't have time for, I'm sure, but it's on every level. I mean, it's understanding the community, it's, you know, getting to know the key players, you know, the board and the greater community that's, you know, but SPAC is an operation, like operationally in systems, and it, you know, it's really about It would be about saying to a biologist who is going into the Amazon for the first time, what's the learning curve? You know, because the ecosystem is so dense and immense and rich that I'm having to learn it from like roots up to the canopy of the trees. So more than that, you know, yeah, it's kind of overwhelming. But every time I dig down another layer, I find more riches.
And when you look at that, so let's just explore that for a moment of the, because SPAC is so multifaceted in what you do. I mean, yes, classic, yeah. The classics, but
yes,
jazz,
got it, yes,
ballet,
yes,
orchestra,
yes.
And then all the other stuff.
Right.
So you are, and I think, and I'm hoping you can address this a little bit. Because you are making your mark, you're bringing some interesting new things, and talk a little bit about those and how you thought they would fit in with the other stuff.
Right. So it's so I'll give you one example, and that is that when I came to SPAC and I saw that you know, you had Live Nation on one side, and then you had the classics over on the other. And a lot of people, both, some even in my staff, but people out in the community, talked about them as if they were two siloed things.
Mm.
And in my mind, you know, I always, you know, cite that thing that Dizzy Gillespie supposedly said, whether it's apocryphal or not, it's brilliant. Supposedly somebody asked him, Mr. Gillespie, what kind of music do you love? And he said, well, there's only two kinds. There's great music and there's everything else. I like the first kind. And that's my programming philosophy. I don't believe in, you know, I mean, there's great pop music. There's great jazz. There's great country. There's great world music. And of course, the great canon of classical music. And so I'm really, what I've been trying to do is integrate it and create experiences where people can really immerse themselves, like this Che Mulombo thing. I want people to come over and have an opportunity to see the dancing and the percussion, but also understand the cultural background of it. This is a gaucho tradition. This is a folkloric form of dance that came from horse country in Argentina. And I thought, well, that's one of the reasons I chose that group, because I thought, how cool to have, you know, horse tradition dancers and percussionists coming to one of the great, you know, cities, equestrian, oh, I can't even pronounce
equestrian?
The word. Let's just talk about horses, okay. Horse towns.
That's fine.
You know, in North America. So I'm just trying to make connections. You know, when people try to hear music or watch dance without any context or connection, personal connections, I'm trying to create those connections between what we do across the season, on the stage and off. And ultimately, you know, what we're trying to do also is take art and music out into the park itself, because I think what I've been trying to do mostly is just like make SPAC a place of no boundaries, because I feel like the arts should spill over. People should be able to come over there and experience that incredible confluence of man-made beauty and natural beauty without boundaries. Like, we've really been trying to take away the pricing, you know, barriers that kept people away. It's really important to me to offer free music to people, create a sense of community at SPAC. And, you know, that's why that homecoming comment I heard the other day was so, like, so moving to me, because that's how people feel when they come to SPAC, and I want to enhance and continue that.
I'm not asking this question to make trouble. I mm-hmm. swear to God I'm not. But I think it's interesting, which is that, because I think you're so right, but isn't there a part of you, especially given your strong classical background for so many years, that you look and you say, look at the work that's being done by the ballet, look at the work that's being done by the orchestra, look at these the incredible performances that we're doing, and then you see some pop show that'll bring in 25,000 people, and you think, oh man, wouldn't it be nice if that crowd was in? But I guess that can't really get in your head, can it?
You know, look, I've lived that dichotomy my whole professional life.
Right.
And so I try to look at every situation not in the woe is me, but how can we benefit from that? And, you know, we've really been working on the relationship, too, with Live Nation. Like, they've been so collegial to us. And, you know, one of my favorite a cappella groups, Straight No Chaser, Live Nation, they actually called me up and said, hey, would you be interested in having us present Straight No Chaser? Because I had mentioned that they were one of my favorite bands. bands. I was like, sure. Now, that's not going to be one of your 25,000 people shows, but it's a great show that they're presenting. So I'm really hoping that over, you know, in the coming years, we're going to find more overlap between those pop people and the straight classical, and find those people who live in the center loving all of that stuff. Hopefully we will benefit from that, and we'll pull from people who have really only known SPAC in the past as a pop venue. That's my hope, and that's the plan. That's the vision. But
and for you, whenever anybody parks their car and walks through the gate, that's a plus, right?
Totally, totally.
No matter what they're going to see, that's what they're going to do.
Absolutely true. I do understand that, you know, some of the ways that the bigger pop shows can impact people in a variety of ways, who aren't necessarily fans of the big pop shows. But, you know, it's a benefit to us that we pull people from all over, you know, certainly all over the state and further beyond. Just having SPAC known, no matter what the type of, you know, public it is, that helps us. It builds the reputation and gives us a broader reach that will ultimately help the classical programming and all of the programming. It all helps each other.
Everything.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, and I know you and the board are very good at this, but on top of that, and by the way, we're all in this together and we have to help Saratoga and the region as a whole.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, the thing is that I'm so, you know, my husband and I fell in love with Saratoga, but like very quickly on, as I, you know, went up to the Hyde Collection and went down to Proctor's and over to Albany, and, you know, I haven't made it yet over to Glimmerglass. I plan to do that, but I'm only mentioning a handful of the amazing cultural entities that there are throughout the capital region. I keep saying to people, having traveled all over North America and frankly outside of North America, having seen, you know, music festivals of all sorts, this festival not only is the biggest, best, and most spectacular festivals in North America, it is utterly unique in that it's a best-in-class venue within 2,400 acres of spectacular, unique parkland, adjacent to one of the most vibrant, culturally vibrant downtowns of a small city on the East Coast. And then, to top it all off, is located in what I'm starting to call the cultural corridor, which is kind of unprecedented, from Hudson up to Glens Falls and west over to Cooperstown and beyond. And that's not even mentioning, of course, that we're the gateway to the Adirondacks. So all I say to people is, if I had had any notion when I was living all those years in New York City that I could come up to a city, a region, have the experiences I'm having here as a new citizen of the capital region, and that it was a train ride away, I would have been up here all the time. That's the news we've got, or that's the message we've got to get to people out beyond the capital region who don't know how spectacular all of this is.
Well, there's a lot coming. We should mention the ballet video series, which is launched this morning, and we'll be going out, rolling out 8 videos, and you can certainly see those at SPAC.org, as well as their Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts. The New York City Ballet coming to SPAC July 5th through the 15th, and then all kinds of great stuff throughout the month of July, including Cafe Lena at SPAC, Live at the Jazz Bar, and Che Malumbo and the Mini Argentinian Festival on July 20th. SPAC.org for more information on all of that. Elizabeth Sobel, it is wonderful to have you here, and thank you so much for sharing and so much for all the great work and the wonderful artistic riches you are bringing to the region.
Well, thank you so much. As always, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.